हैं, कभी और काम करते हैं। Sing that song, I'm gonna pray sometime, amen. Come on, everyone, now praise him, praise him. Praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime. Praise him, let us praise him. Praise him when the sun, I'm gonna love him tonight, yeah. Love him, let's just love him more. Love him in the morning, let's love him in the noontime. Love him, I'm gonna love him. Love him when the sun, oh, let's love him again. I'm gonna love him, let's just love him more. Love him in the morning.
Love him in the
morning. Love him, I'm gonna love him. Love him when the sun. I'm gonna serve him tonight. I'm gonna serve. Let's just serve. Oh, we'll serve him with all that we have here. I'll serve him. Love him, let's just love him. Love him. If that's your desire, let's sing it again. I'm gonna serve him, everyone. Oh, it's a joy to serve him tonight. I'm gonna serve him in the morning. I will. Let's just love him, oh, serve him. I'm gonna praise him. I'm gonna praise him. Oh, let's praise him tonight. Oh, praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. I'm gonna praise him. Let's just praise him. Oh, praise him when the sun. Oh, everyone, let's just love him tonight. Everyone, let's sing. I'm gonna love him, I will. Let's just love him in the noontime. Love him, love him, oh. Love him when the sun goes down. Oh, can we just lift our hands and praise him tonight, sir? Oh, hallelujah. Blessed is your name, Lord. Lord, we'll praise you no matter what the condition is, Lord. Lord, through thick or thin, we're going to serve. We're going to lift our hands, Lord, and worship and give you the honor and give you the praise tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, this privilege, Lord. Lord, to come and to praise you tonight, Lord. Lord, in this dark and gloomy hour, Lord. Oh, Lord, our hearts, we love you. Lord, our desire is just to serve you, Lord, just to come into your house. Lord, we long for this night to be gathered amongst one another to praise and to worship you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, we thank you. Let every head be bowed, let every eye be closed. I just came to praise you, Lord. I just came to praise his holy name. Let us sing that song. Just forget about the days, chores. Forget about everything. It might be rough, it might be tough. Not saying, not sure, but I came to praise the Lord tonight. I'm going to forget about everything. I'm going to lift my hand before the Holy Spirit. I just came here to praise the Lord. Amen. Forget about yourself. Let's concentrate on him. Let's worship him tonight. Amen.
I just came to praise the
Lord. Oh, forget about yourself. Let's praise him tonight.
I just came to praise.
If you're sick, praise him anyhow tonight, saints. He deserves all our worship.
To praise his holy name.
just came to praise thee. Oh, let's just sing it again. I just came to praise the Lord.
I just came to praise the Lord. I just came to praise the Lord.
Let all the sisters sing tonight. I just came to praise the Lord.
I just came to praise the
Lord. Oh, let's worship him tonight. I just came to praise the Lord.
I just came to praise the Lord.
Oh, we worship the Lord.
I just came to
hallelujah. Oh, let's lift our hands all outside the building and let's sing tonight. I just came.
I just came to praise the Lord. I just came to praise the Lord.
I just came. Oh, as we sing again, we just want to call Brother Neville in the back to pray with us tonight. I just came. Let's lift our hands before him. Forget about everything tonight, saints. To praise the Lord.
I just came to praise the Lord.
I just came. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we could praise you. Lord, we could praise you in the morning. Lord, we could praise you in the evening. Lord, we could praise you when the sun goes down, Lord. Thanking you, Lord God, that you have given us the strength, Lord. Lord God, your word said, let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. And Lord, we are alive, oh God, to show forth your praise in this last day, Lord. Knowing that, Lord, you have called us out of darkness, Lord, into this marvelous light that we could show forth your praise, Lord God. Oh God, how we thank you, Lord, that you could lift us up in the spirit, Lord. And Lord, we can have a true understanding, Lord, of ourselves in this hour, Lord. Lord, we see your word unfold, oh God, Lord, Father. Lord, and making us know that we are the ones, Lord, in this last day, that is the true worshipers, Lord, that are going to worship you in spirit and in truth, Father. Lord, how we thank you for the divine revelation that has brought us to this consciousness, Lord God. Lord, making us know where we came from, Lord, and making us know where we are going back, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, in this fullness of joy and praise forevermore, hallelujah. Father. Oh, God, this night, Lord, as we gather with expectation, Lord, to see you, Lord, the angel of the Lord, whose I am and who we serve, Lord, the one that Paul knew, Lord, Father, the one that Moses knew, Lord, the one that the prophet knew in his last day. Lord, we're waiting upon you tonight, Lord, that you will come on this scene, Father. Hallelujah.
Lord, and take full charge of every life tonight, Lord God.
Oh,
you're
yes,
the one,
Lord,
who have come down, Lord, in this last day. Lord, one foot upon the land and one upon the sea, Lord. Lord, you came and, Lord, show us, Lord, it's a subdued land, Father. Lord, every redemptive blessing is for us tonight, Lord. Oh, God, as we wait with expectation,
hallelujah,
that your Holy Spirit will take your servant, Lord, to speak the things that is put into your kingdom, Lord. Lord God, you reveal unto us these mystery truths, Lord, that will turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers, Lord. Lord God, we look to see the dynamics, Lord. Move among us in a greater measure, Lord, to quicken every fiber of our beings, to quicken our minds to the promise, Lord, to quicken our lives to the age that we are living in here tonight, Lord. Lord, as we continue, Lord, may you anoint the song leader. Lord, inspire him, Lord, with a song, Lord, that will lift us up in the presence of the Shekinah glory this night, Lord God. Lord, we want to give you our fullness, Lord. We want to give our best tonight, Lord. Lord, we're ready with expectation to see your Holy Spirit, Lord. Bring our minds in one mind and one accord, that the promise can be manifested among us, Lord. Lord, as we wait upon you, Lord, may you have your own blessed way. And we continue, Lord, may we worship your Father from the depths of our hearts, Lord. Lord, we give you all the praise, all the thanks, all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we just lift our hands and praise him tonight, saints. Everyone all around the building, let's lift our voices unto him. Lord, we praise, we thank you tonight, Lord. Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your promised word in our midst tonight, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thou art worthy to be praised. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Thou art worthy to be worshipped tonight, Lord. Lord, your loving kindness is better than life, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsty soul. That's what we need tonight, saints. That's what we come for. Let it come and quench everything inside of us. Amen. That's what we want. We don't want nothing of this world. We want the dew of heaven to fall upon us tonight. Amen. That's our desire. That's our faith to come into the house with. We don't want nothing less tonight, saints. Amen. So let's truly sing it from the depths of our hearts tonight. Amen. Let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsty soul. Mean it tonight, saints. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Blessed Holy Spirit, come and take complete control. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Blessed Holy Spirit. Blessed Holy Spirit. Come and take complete control. To the Holy Spirit tonight, let the dew of heaven. Oh, we want it tonight, saints. That's what we need tonight. Let the dew of heaven fall upon my soul. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Tonight, saints, how we want the dew of heaven. Oh, let him come have complete control tonight. Amen. Could we just sing the song, worship him, oh, magnify the Lord with me. He is worthy tonight to be praised. He is worthy to be given all honor tonight. Amen. We long to be back tonight to worship our King tonight. Amen. So let's sing unto him tonight. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, let praise him tonight, sis, for everyone. Magnify the Lord again. Let's all worship him.
Oh, magnify the Lord. For he is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord. For he is worthy to be praised.
Everyone now.
Hosanna.
Glory, glory to his name.
Glory, glory to his name. He lives and reigns forever.
Oh, glory, glory to his name.
Glory, glory.
Let's worship him tonight, everyone. All on the outside, let's praise him.
He lives and reigns forever.
Oh, let's all sing tonight. Believe on him tonight, see.
For he provided all my needs.
Oh, let's have faith as we sing.
Jehovah Jireh is his name. For he provided all my needs.
Hosanna. Jireh is his name. Amen. Believe on him tonight, saints. He can provide anything for us.
For he provided all my needs.
Let's have faith tonight.
Jehovah Jireh is his name. For he
Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, it's still Jehovah Jireh even this night, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed is your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. As we pick up the night tithes and offering, could we just sing, if that same spirit raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, shall quicken your mortal body. Amen. You know that we all believe that tonight, saints. Amen.
If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, dwell in you.
in you, oh, it shall quicken the mortal body. If that spirit dwell in you, oh, it shall quicken.
I can face tomorrow's sins. Cause he live, all fear is gone tonight. We believe that every promise in the book belongs to us. Amen. Let us sing that song as we turn the service over. Amen. Because he lives.
Because he lives.
Oh, I can face tomorrow. Oh, just because he lives tonight, saints.
Because Christ lives,
all my fear is gone.
All fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future.
And life
is worth my living just because he lives.
Oh, let us sing it tonight. Because he lives in.
Because he lives. Oh, I can tell.
I will live a holy life.
I will live a holy life. Shander and older eyes. Older Lord, I need a
call prayer request, Sister Louise and Claire request prayer on behalf of tooth which she extracted and caused the gum to be damaged, also caused much pain. Sister Doris Rubila request prayer on her behalf for severe chest pains. Father, God of present help in a time of trouble. When we have a need, we can come in your presence with confidence. It is what you want us to do, Lord. Not that we want in our minds to be gloomy, but to approach you with confidence and make our request known unto you with joy, knowing that your promise is to supply our needs according to your riches. And Lord, as we stand here tonight, we are grateful in our hearts that you made a way for us. We count, we ask forgiveness of our sins, our shortcomings. Lord, we confess our wrong before you. We bow to the dust of the earth from whence you've taken us, Lord. We realize there's nothing good in us, Lord. But it's your amazing grace. We thank you for the blood atonement that is laid there for us. May our sins now be blotted out by it, Father. And Lord God, we stand here with your righteousness upon us now. And with faith in that supreme sacrifice, Father, we ask on behalf of our two sisters for the needs that they have tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. May you grant it unto them according to their riches. And dear God, if there be any here in this service tonight and have a special need or problem that might be unspoken and holy before you, Lord, you are the omniscient God. You know about it even now. May your great compassionate love reach out to them, Father. And may you meet their need also. For we believe as we ask these things tonight for your honor and for your glory. Bless us in this service. Lead and direct us in your word tonight. And Father, may bless each and every one that is gathered here in a special way. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may have a seat. We want to welcome everyone to the service tonight. And I believe it's supposed to have a baptismal service. After, we haven't seen the brother and sisters yet, but we just want to maybe look in the Word a little bit, you know, I got to think the Bible is. We thank God for His grace and all the things He's seen for us in this hour that is giving us a greater faith in His promise that He has made. Amen. And we know the time is close and many of you might be there this week and felt the earthquake. Amen. And shake the entire nation. And we know that all these things is a sign of coming judgment. Amen. 1964, God didn't just shake the nation, but He shook the whole earth, warned by a world tremor what He was going to do. And we know that that is when they rejected the Messiah. But Ram says in 1833, He said they rejected the Messiah. The nations came together and they crucified Jesus Christ. And when they had rejected the Messiah, God shook the earth with an earthquake. Bible said the rocks did rent and the earth quaked. And in 1964, after they rejected the Messiah again when the seven seals were opened, God almost sunk Alaska. He shook the earth again. He said, and God is warning the world by a world tremor what is going to happen in the last days. And then we have had 19 years since that time. And preaching the last Thursday night, we're in a time of lingering judgment when God is just the wrath of God is just holding back in sovereign grace and mercy until He pulled the last one out. And it's a time when we have heard the midnight cry coming down, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. It was a going out time when everyone had to leave the systems because the call has come out of my people and be not partake of our place. And, you know, we know that the very message that you received that was a message of mercy and judgment. Amen. Giving a warning before judgment comes. And we know we're just in the shadows of judgment upon the face of the earth. And how we it behooves us to just make our calling and our election sure and to do all that we could do to be right with God. And there's an hour because, you know, I was just thinking the day in the papers there and they just made some casual statement and, you know, Abraham says they would put some, you know, little thing on the big headline and then they would put the important things in some little article in the corner because it just shows what is impressing the people at the present time. And they show that the whole nation, the whole mind, the things that it's after. But to know that there's a people call out into the hiding place. There's a secret place that God always prepared before judgment for his elected who would believe his word and would enter in before the judgment strike. As always preached in the days of Noah, before the judgment struck, Noah had entered into the ark. In the days of Egypt, before the judgment struck, they had entered under the blood. In the days of Elijah, before the judgment struck, he went into a secret place where he fed hidden food. And this day, before the judgment strikes again, here God has come down and has pulled a people out also to take them into a secret place before the judgment would really strike. And when we see these things, we really know that we are living in the last hour and what a privilege it is to recognize the things that are taking place. Many of you know that, you know, we are under expectation, you know, for a promise of the dynamics of the Holy Spirit that is promised to be poured out. But Ram says it will be a great outpouring from the skies with the dynamics of the Holy Spirit to take the church off of the earth. Amen. Actually, to give a faith to be translated to a people, maybe it might be thousands of people, might be hundreds of people. I don't know how much it going to be, but how much it's going to be when that power comes. It will give them power to be taken off the face of the earth. And it's a promise of God, and it's a promise of God for this hour. And the things about it, when God makes a promise, he makes a promise for a specific time. And when we realize that we're in that time for that promise, then we make ready and prepare for it. Because all God's promises will come to pass. All he has made for the time that was allotted before this time has come to pass in the time that he spoke it to come to pass. And the things that he spoke for this time, it will come to pass in this time also. The prophet is right in time. The opening of the seventh is right in time. The calling to the bride is right in time. And so the going over the church will be right in time. Israel is back in the homeland right in time. Everything is always right in time. Nothing is out of cater. It might be out of cater according to man's calculation and man's ideas and you know all the different things that man work out in the mind. But God's time is always perfect. With God, nothing is out of cater. Amen. And just reading today, you know, how Brother Ram was speaking about the earth. I was speaking back then, the last time, about this and Noah. And the earth being out of its original position through atomic explosion. And, you know, to see that they cannot calculate time because properly because we have 28 days. Like last month was 28 days. And then this month is 31 days. And then, you know, next month will be 30 days. And that's how the calendar is. But God thing is not like that, you see. So we realize then that the things that we have to be looking for is for the fulfillment of the things that God has spoken. And when we can recognize the things coming to pass, there is a certain thing spoken that come to pass. And when it has come to pass, then we know the end is here. Amen. And then when we could look and see that there is hardly anything left but for the going over the church. Because the things that have promised the church have already taken place. All the church is waiting for the dynamics of the Holy Spirit. There are things like pertaining to the world and pertaining to the nation, which is not related to the church, which the church will see and observe and know that all these things are a sign. That this is the hour by the grace of God, as he said, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear to the ceiling of his household. And this is the great thing, that when God has spoken, and we know it is God who has spoken. And when God spoke to Noah, Noah wasn't uncertain about the voice of God. He knew that God had spoken to him. That's why in the midst of criticism, in the face of a scientific generation,
He gotta be moved with fear and prepared for the saving of his household. Because look at it, how it was that the many households, they was caught in the judgment, but Noah's household was saved. Like in the time of Egypt, many households was caught in the judgment, but those who had the blood applied, they were saved. The time of Jericho, many houses was caught in the judgment, but Rahab was saved. And they first had to receive a warning of coming judgment. Amen. And a message came forth to prepare them, and when they took heed to the message, they were saved. The Bible said, take earnest heed to the things that you have seen and heard, lest at any time you let them slip. And they went on to speak about those who heard the word of God was preached, and they didn't mix it with faith, and it didn't profit them anything. But when God is speaking the word of God to a people in a certain generation, making known unto them the things that God promised that generation, is for them to take heed. God isn't just speaking to give you information, to give you more education. God is speaking for you to take heed. Amen. And when you take heed to God's word, then it can profit you. Amen. Because God don't want you to be caught up in the things of the world, the people of the world, that you neglect this great salvation. In Hebrews 2, it says that, they say, because if we neglect the word, say, how much more the punishment would be. You see, because you remember when those angels, the prophets, spoke the word, and those who failed to take heed, they get a recompense. God punished them with how much more it would be for us. You see, and then when we see that, we can't neglect such a great salvation. Because think of it, for the hundreds of years, and all the organizations have been probing, the Catholic Church had the world in darkness for almost 1,000 years, until Luther arrived with a revelation in his heart, and the just shall live by faith, and condemn the Roman Catholic system. But though Luther condemned the Roman Catholic system, he didn't have a revelation to bring the people to a restoration. He only had enough light to tell them, this way is not the way. But he didn't have the light to bring them back to the real way. And then the Methodists, John Wesley, they rose up and they condemned the Anglican system and said that was not the way. And they just claimed that you should live a holy life. And God will please the whole life. But we realize it's more than that today. It's more than a sanctified life. Amen. And then there were the Pentecostals. They thought that the gifts, and that was it. And that was not it. And during those three ages, which are the denominational ages and the three great movements, and out of those three great movements came forth many other branches, like Presbyterian and Baptist and Episcopalian and Pilgrim Holiness, and all these came out to those things. And they had 969 denominations at the end of the Pentecostal age. And not one had a knowledge of the truth. And then God sent so great a salvation and opened the entire Bible and bring back one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So we have no thought, we have no doubt about the way, the truth, and the life. How if we neglect so great a salvation? Amen. That God didn't leave us to figure out and wonder and be confused in our minds whether the Baptist, whether the Methodist, whether the Pentecostal, whether the Jehovah's Witness, whether the Seventh-day Adventist, whether the Catholic, whether the Anglican, whether the Methodist. God didn't leave us without our mind. Whether it's some philosophy, whether it's this or that. The word of the Lord came to the prophet. And the prophet was the mouthpiece of God to the generation. And Elijah restored back all things. Amen. And with that in mind, I want to read a scripture tonight for a short exhortation. In Isaiah 38. We all stand up here. In those days, was Hezekiah sick unto death? Isaiah 38. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city 5 things. I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, I will add unto thy days, I will deliver thee, and I will defend the city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing because he hath spoken. Let's bow our heads and close our hands. Almighty God, Father, as we come tonight, continuing this service, setting the church in order, every individual in order, every member of the bride in order, every family in order. Oh God, may tonight you give utterance, we might speak unto the edification of the people. They, Lord, might have an understanding of your will for them in this hour. They might receive discernment by the Spirit to discern the time that they are living in. They might receive the sensitiveness of the Holy Spirit to be sensitive to the voice of God and the working of the Spirit. And Lord, give them the humility in their hearts to humble themselves and line up with your word. They can be led by you, Father. They can walk under the shadow of the Almighty. And they can have confidence in their hearts. The Lord, they are in the way of the Lord. And the Lord is amongst them. And they shall fear no evil, for thou art with them. Grant, Lord, be with us tonight in this service. Speak to our hearts and strengthen us. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now receive. So you see, so what a time it is that many people have failed to recognize that the time that we are living in, that God has spoken to us in this generation. And there are many things that, you know, we could elaborate on and divert on. And this is where many people, they fail to stay in the middle of the road, because the real evidence of a spirit-led life is to be balanced and is to be walking in the middle of the road. Not fanatical and not starchy, but in the middle of the road. But Abraham says you can get wild and go off into fanaticisms, or you can get cold and starchy by being too scholarly and trying to be too educated in the gospel. So if you keep under prayer and you're humbling spirit, then you can keep in the middle of the road. You can be balanced. And the Bible says that how we must be sober. See? Be sober in all things, because to be sober is to be balanced. See? And to have a balance is to be able to have a proper discernment, to have proper judgment. Because the balance is like a scale. You know, the scale is the balance, is to weigh something in. The Bible said the false balance is abomination in the sight of the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. And how we should have a proper discernment when we look at things, when we weigh things in our hearts, and when we could discern what we see. He said, not what we read, but what we discern from what we read. It's not what we hear, but what we discern from what we hear. Amen. But I'm talking about the woman who had the little cat, you know, she saw this little kitty, and it was all wet in the rain, and she had a good motive and a good objective to warm it. And she take it and put it in her oven, and she bake it. He said she had a good motive and she had a good objective, but she had a poor discernment. See, she wanted to do something good, but she had a poor discernment, so she baked the kitty in that she tried to help it she actually, you know, killed the thing. And then there was some doctor, you know, tried to doctor a person, and then he actually, in trying to doctor them, he didn't diagnose the case properly, and then he mixed the medicine, and then because of a bad diagnosis and not being able to prescribe the medicine properly, then he ended up killing the person, put too much of wanting inside of it. And then he says, oh, we must have discernment and discern what we see. And this is why many people are influenced the wrong way, because they don't have a discernment to discern the type of influence that's influencing them. They can't look at something and see the harm in it, see the subtlety in it, see? And when they see those things, they find what begins to happen is that they fail to detect, the diabolical, you know, things that the enemy have in it, because the sin always appears to be harmless. The reason a person is deceived, like Eve, Balaam says, Eve didn't walk out and disbelieve the Bible. He was deceived. See? She didn't say, well, I believe God. She was deceived. You see, because she believed the Bible and she believed God. But she couldn't discern the evil. You see? That was there before her. And because of that, she was misled and went onto a mental delusion. And then you find that it happened to churches, it happened to people. And then God's word is always to come to put us in course. And anytime you see a life that is not in line with God's word, it's a life that has been influenced somewhere or the other and pulled away from the place where it ought to be. See? And this is where many people, you know, they are deceived, because when they look at something, they don't see that it's wrong. And that's where they are deceived, because deceive means you think you're right, but you're wrong. And being right, that you feel you're right, that you want to be right, that you like to be right, the way the word says you are right. The word is a discern of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's why many people, Brother Abraham, have to go back in their life and find things that is there. Search them out. Yes! And find the place where it is. Because even people are telling me, say, you're wrong. They say, no, I'm not wrong. They say, yes, you're wrong. And you have to go way back into the life and find things. And then they see, like some woman at a time, where she was, her husband was in the war, and she was living unfaithful to her husband. And then she came, and she was so bothered and nervous and in bad condition, and she couldn't just go along. And Brother Ram brought her, and we had talked. He said, you done everything wrong? He said, no. He said, the Lord, yes. And there was nothing that she could remember. She actually couldn't remember it. She actually searched, and she couldn't remember nothing. And then he looked back there under the discernment, the Holy Spirit and sovereign grace come. He says, remember a time when your husband was in the war? Years ago, is that a time he's going on the road, and a man in a car, remember a train line? And the car stall, and the train almost come and kill you all. You had a wreck there. So yes, I remember it. He said, that's the thing, right there. He said, go and tell your husband it. She said, well, I can't do that. If I do that, in my life, gonna mash up. See? So then he said, well, I can't tell him nothing else. That's what I have to do. And then she sit down there, and she begin to, you know, pray again. And then if the vision come again, it says, he said, you have to be scared about. While your husband was away in the war, he went to live unfaithful to you too. He says, so go and bring me here, and the two of you are coming to this thing right before God. And then they're going to be set free. Now you're finding that here we live in an hour, and we receive a message of coming judgment, and we are living in the shadows of judgment, and we begin in the house of God. And when these things begin to repeat itself, you find out what's going to happen. The people, many of them, they would be so dead in the pews that they wouldn't even know it's happening. You see? I just was thinking there how the earthquake came. I was reading the papers. And they was talking about the cricket match. And they just slipped in the earthquake in the middle of the cricket match. But they were so enthused over the cricket match. That's like the well news. Who the fastest 50 in West Indies, you know, win so and so and so. And yes, and had a little earthquake, yes, and they continued the cricket match. And in there, it showed the mentality of the people, how deranged that their minds are. So we have discernment to discern and see. We live in the midst of a nation. And look at the people's mind is taken up in. And I was thinking there, just after the carnival, where they had all this carnival, and all this uncleanness, and even the people in carnival, who did promote the carnival, they're begging the people not to behave so vulgar, especially the women, on carnival day. And don't behave so vulgar before the television cameras. And they, all the women just wait for it before the grandstand, right on the stage. That's where it's being broadcast and televised by the television. That's where all the women waiting to behave immoral. Until the very people are kind of begging the people, the sinners begging the sinners not to sin so much. You see, begging the woman not to be so vulgar. And then after the carnival days, it was splashed all through the papers, all the vulgarity, all the immorality, all these things. It was just splashed across the papers to see what was happening. And when you see that, you know, you wonder in your heart then. It makes you wonder in your heart, what is going on? You see? And then, right after that, up comes all this corruption. To show the corruption, the government was in all the time. And when people were trying to speak out against it, they were passing laws and quoting laws to muzzle the people from exposing the corruption. Until the Bible said, whatever is in darkness must come to light. And whatever is hidden shall be revealed. Until they tried to muzzle it down in this country, it come out in another country. To show back the character and the type of thing in these people. And then they had an earthquake that passed in place last week and she went a few of the islands. And they said Trinidad wasn't touched. And then when they come here and want to come and shake this place, they got to shake it throughout the whole place. And I was home there studying, and in the midst of the studying there, all of a sudden I feel the whole place was going like that. And I didn't realize what's going on. I said, Lord, I give a revelation or something. Or what? I said, poor God, shake the place. You see, I raised the hands and said, I praise God. You see? And I have to realize it was an earthquake. You see? And I remember somebody saying something about a dream where I tell a few saints had an earthquake shaking this place. If the brothers remember, we had went to a meeting down in Fullerton. And then we had come back in Fullerton. Where's that place in Seed? Just where we went, we had a union meeting. I preached about a Winston then. And then we come back and had a dream and see the earthquake. I remember a sister who left this church. She was there and she was standing up there and in trying to, you know, kind of make believe now. And there was like judgment in the place. And the place was just in an earthquake. And when that came, it can't happen to me, you know, I just think about it, because I think of the carnival and all this thing, all the corruption. And the message came to me at warning before judgment. And Balaram says, when something happens, don't ever say that person died before God warned him. He said, don't you never say that, because nobody dies or nobody's judged before God's warned him. The time of Nineveh, when God was going to judge Nineveh, he was sending Jonah a message. And Jonah couldn't face the people because he was trying to cross a bridge, he didn't reach it. You will say, when I get down there, they will receive me, and they will believe me, and all kind of fun things, and you try to take a shortcut, and jump in a ship, and go and hide. Amen. See, while he was in the ship, trouble come, and trouble in everywhere. And he was sensitive, because he knew he was out to the will of God. So the first thing he says, is me. He said, all is going to go on me, Because the people shall not call upon God, they shall call upon God, they shall call upon God. So they meet him down the bottom of the ship. They say, you call upon your God too. He say, call upon the God. He say, all this torment because I out of the will of God here. See? And he said, bind me hand and foot and throw me out in the sea. See? And every time they do that, the storm begins to cease. But God had a fish prepared to swallow Jonah. See? And that fish now, because that ship was going to Tarshish, but that fish ain't going to no Tarshish, that fish was going to Nineveh. So you see, if God, if you don't want to go in the will of God, if God had to go out of the ordinary and do something that gets you where he wants you, God's going to do it. So you see? So God created a fish, and that fish, man, they had no steering wheel to steer that fish. That fish is a guided, like a guided missile. See, that fish guided by the intelligence of God. And Jonah inside a deer had to repent. And he began to repent. You wait until there, because you gonna preach repentance and you don't repent yet. Amen. And if he go to count the will of God, he better repent. So he get down there inside the fish and start to repent right there. Turn toward the temple of Solomon and begin to pray. See, and when the fish come right, or the fish just open the mouth, and Jonah walk out, and the prophet, he said, the whole city repented because the people had believed in the fish God. So when they see this man walk out of this fish, on this land here, it scared everybody. And then man, woman, beast, the king called him for the animals and all the fast. He said, no animal they meet. For them days. You see, the time of Amos, when God is going to bring judgment, Amos is walking around Samaria. Because God was not going to judge his city before he sent a warning. And the way God always does. And the same way here for Trinidad, God will not judge Trinidad until he sent a warning. And after his word have gone forth and turned down, then he's going to warn people still. Individuals, homes, people, everybody's going to warn them. Because the way God do that individual, is the way he do that church, is the way he do that nation, is the way he do that family, God has one standard for everybody. See? You have one plan. And everybody has to line up with that plan. See? And then when that time came, just like in Hezekiah, the prophet came to Hezekiah and said, set your house in order, thus saith the Lord. And Hezekiah realized that his time had come, but he didn't want to go that way. The Bible said he turned his face to the wall and prayed. And you watch the prayer, the man prayed. As we talk about praying a little bit, I don't want to directly say any personal, I don't want anybody to feel bad. I just want to say this from my heart as a minister of the gospel, as somebody watching over the screen here. You find many people get carried away in the praying. And many people get influenced with other people's spirit when it comes to praying. And many people end up giving God a lecture. You see, as I say, God teaches how to live in the prophet. God teaches how to serve him in the prophet. Everything, because it wasn't the prophet, it was the life of Jesus Christ, veiled in human flesh and manifested against us in the evening time, only because it had no promise of the corporal body coming back to the earth before the bride goes away. Otherwise, the corporal body himself would have come back. And he himself would have do it over again for you to see. But because the corporal body, the body that they nailed on the cross, would not come back until the bride leaves, God show forth the same life in another vessel. So you can see by the life in the vessel, the nature, the character of a son of God, a perfect example for every other son. And that God, in his sovereign grace, when Jesus came, he wasn't born by sex. He wasn't born a sinner that became the Word. He was the Word made flesh. But the example God gave us this time is a sinner who became the Word made flesh. See? And it's Christ in him overcoming everything a sinner had to overcome. A second time, in the place of a sinner, not in the place of a savior, become the first time. You understand what I'm saying? And all you have to do is put on a tape and listen to him pray. Listen to him talk to the Lord. And you get to realize he don't come before the Lord and repeat the whole message and all the seven seals and the seven thunders and the mysteries and all the shouts and the trump and all. He don't come before God with all that. You see, when he come before the Lord, he come with his heart. Balaam says, he says you come to God intelligently. You don't come to God slothfully. You don't come to God with a blank mind. And can you say, I'm going to come with a blank mind. You just come and throw yourself. So I'll throw myself on the altar and let the Lord have his way. And the Lord will end up falling asleep. Sleep have his way. And they go there and they're mumbling in between sleep and wake. They're mumbling that their mind don't even know what they're mumbling. Until they end up in the shop. See? Or they end up somewhere else. Now God don't want that. And some people, they feel them to get a breakthrough. The people coming to God through their mind, they feel that like talk hard and be very vibrant and kind of carry on like a preaching sermon to God because they feel then that they won't get a breakthrough. That is the way they just keep their own flesh. They keep shouting above their own thoughts in their mind so the thoughts won't influence them from what they're doing. So they walk themselves in their spirit, in their frenzy, and just keep going, talking all kinds of things. And then they come to their mind with all the mysteries and the message and all the different things in the message, they're giving that to God. God don't want that. God is saying, I'll come and spend no hour. God is saying, I'll spend 45 minutes. God is saying, I'll spend 10 minutes. God is saying, I'll spend a week. God is coming with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Come, believe, ask in faith, and believe and receive what you ask and you shall have it. That's what God says. God is for a time limit to your prayer. But guilt, a lack of confidence, is feel like there's not a time, so you're wasting no time. And feel how long a time you spend in God's sight, like that cannot justify you. God don't want that. See, but I want to say, come before God. Lord, you made a promise in your word. Lord, you said so and so. In a condition, Lord, look at my condition. I hate myself. Look what I get myself, and I ain't fit to be a servant. God wants people who are quick to the point, who believe what they're saying, who is honest in what they're doing. God wants people telling people that's a nice thing, that's so nice, and their heart not really in it. Lord, I love you so and so and so. Lord, I love you. And the Lord knows whether you love him. Say, Lord, give me more revelation to love you. Because I love you, the author of it. That is what God wants. You see, and God don't want lip service. And that's why people get carried away. Somebody comes to preach a whole message to God, and then everybody gets in their frenzy the same thing, and everybody wants to start preaching to God and again God present. God don't want that. You see, every time you get God, no, you get before God and talk to the Lord. You see, get into what you're going through, what is taking you through. You see what is revealing to you? What is preparing you from the word? Get your inspiration. You see, the message is preached to you to place your life into God's program, in that channel where you can fellowship and relate with him, where you can walk in his presence and live in his presence. You see, so here when God came to Hezekiah, he just set your house in order. Because judgment is going to come with a warning. Before the judgment comes, and Hezekiah gets before God, and look at him, what he says here. He said, Lord, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and I have done this good in thy sight. And Hezekiah went bitterly. Let me show you something. Hezekiah never went. He had confidence in that he was living before God with a perfect heart. God never turned back and told him, no, he never lived before with a perfect heart. He knew he was walking before God with a perfect heart. And he asked God for time, extension of time, so he could set his house in order. which he never eventually did. He backslid. He had got 15 years to do it, and he never did it. And to see that the word of God have come to us likewise, the synagogue of man, he did the nation, he did the city, he did the world, everybody in the same basis. And before a judgment could come upon a person, God warns them. What about Pharaoh's wife? She was warned in a dream and Pharaoh go to judge Jesus Christ. Not Pharaoh, Pilate. And Pilate said, I've been warned. Leave that man alone. Don't have to do that man. That man is a just man. You see? Say this night in a dream. God warned her in a dream. You see? But Pilate wouldn't give heed. You see? Always look in the Bible and see. When there's a famine, judgment is going to come to the land. God warned them through a dream with Pharaoh. He warned them. And the warning is to bring a preparation. The warning is the mercy of God, is the justice of God, so that God's judgment would not be unjust. If God called a person to serve him, though God called to serve him, God called to serve him and to walk with him. And while you're walking with the Lord, that means you walk with the Lord and your trouble's over and you can do what you want. No, the Lord called you. No, that's not at all. God called you to walk with him and you're going to live by his standard, you're going to live by his principles, you're going to live by his word, you're going to govern your life, you come out it, you'll not be blessed, you stay it, you'll be blessed. That is God's order. You see, and this is where many people, they fail to realize many times that they're being chastised by God and they call it they're going through trials. Because they can't discern in their life God's chastisement is punishment, and they can't discern God testing them. See, like how he tested Job, how he tested the Hebrew boys. Lord, attest him, how he tested the woman with the bowl, the meal and the oil. That wasn't chastisement, that was testing. See, look at David and different ones when they sin. God was chastising them. Look at Israel, he was chastising them. Many are person going through things, something they don't know what it is. So then they cannot benefit by the chastisement. They're not getting the right attitude and shape that God wants them into to mold the character, to bring them to the place God. They don't know. Or they're not watching their life closely. You see, they live in a haphazard type of life. Or when they do wrong and they say, yes, Lord, forgive me for it, yes, and Lord, forgive them for it, they think that it's over. Forgiveness and chastisement are two different things. God forgive me, he said, I chastise you. There's a blood atonement. Repentance and confession bring forgiveness. But chastisement now is to get the traits out that is causing the sin. Purge it now. So you can bring forth good fruit. You see? And here's where in people's Christian life, they're serving the Lord, but not in the order of God's word, not lining up with God's word. See? Not really in the place where God could bless them, where they could understand the will of God for life, not really having the balance. But they're serving God in the temperament of going to church and I ain't sinning morally. And the belief is that, well, I think it's a lie God told when he writes things in the Bible. So that is not where a Christian life ought to be, you know. This is where now the communication with you and God comes in. Because through a relationship and the revelation of his word, he revealing his word to you, making it personalized unto you. This is where it comes in now, so that your life now would not just be haphazard, but would have direction. You'd have leadership of his spirit. You'd be able to recognize his will being fulfilled in your life. And these are the things you watch. And these are the things you examine your life for. You See? And this is why I see many people, they go along and they don't know if they're pleasing God. I wonder if they're pleasing the Lord. I don't know. I wonder if the Lord is pleasing me. I wonder if I can have confidence. I wonder if a guilty conscience the devil bringing upon me, or it's just condemnation in my heart. I can't have confidence because my life is pleasing God. I don't have the assurance. So they try to have faith and they cannot have faith. They try to release their faith and they can't release no faith. Because you can't work yourself up into a faith. You see? But Hezekiah, when the time comes, because there of his condition, he's going to go before God with confidence and say, Lord, did I walk before you with a perfect heart? And I've done that which is good in thy sight. So he has no way to take a please God. You see? And he said, I walk before thee in truth. And this is where a believer, in this hour, when something comes, let me say, maybe upon you, upon your family, anywhere to move in, you can go before God and say, Lord, I'm living before you a perfect heart. Lord, I'm walking your truth. I've done that which is good in thy sight. You see? And God turned that thing away. God sent the prophet back to take back, God said the Lord. You see? Are we saying? What about, let's say, in this nation, if the people could have fallen, their faith, repent, no, they will not do it. Or they'll have to fulfill scripture, they have to make fire outside here. They will not do it. The churches would not do it because they've already condemned the message. They say, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. And Barabbas was a liar, murderer, and thief. And they choose that rather than the way, the truth, and the life. That was a choice. It showed what they wanted. You see? So when you actually look and see here in the word that God come to Hezekiah and he said, set your house in order because you have to go soon. What about us here who have to go soon? We all have to go soon. Whether it's by the rapture or better, whether by natural cause, whether by accident, or whatever cause it is, we have to go soon. You see? But what something are you saying? Many people are being deceived and is neglecting so great a salvation that God has sent unto them in this hour, which was thus saith the Lord. Many people don't even realize that what thus saith the Lord is. It is actually Almighty God coming down to take away the frustration, remove the confusion, and establish you in the way of righteousness. See? Putting you into a place where you can know the true purpose of God, where you can know the will of God. The word of God coming unto us, letting us see that there is only one way, and that will be revealed unto us. How could we walk away from, let's say, that way, or fail to line up with that way, or choose to live halfway after that way is revealed unto us? When God, in putting all that vindication materially, by science, by medicine, in the heavens, so that you would not have not one place to doubt, to be uncertain whether it's God or not, but you'll know definitely that God has sent his salvation unto you in this hour. You see? And here, just like Isaiah, a prophet, coming to the word of God, to Hezekiah and said, put your house in order. Like today, I had the opportunity to speak to some people about order, because here we are at the end of the journey. I remember Ephesians at the end of the journey. When you come to Ephesians, you come back to the end of the journey. Going to restoration back to where you come from. Or when you come to the end of your journey, it's coming back into a perfect order. You make a cycle and you're coming right back into God's order. All the other time it's out of order, it's out of the place it's supposed to be. And God's whole move is getting them back in their rightful place. And the church is actually moving back into its rightful place. The people, the individuals, is moving back into the rightful place. Every person, whether it's a man, whether it's a woman, and the Bible has laid out here for us as an individual, you're a daughter of God, you're saying to many young girls, because right now I think a sister wrote me a note and on behalf of some sisters to have a little meeting with the sisters because certain a burden, I should say, that's upon the sisters. You see, and they find and they should have some, you know, maybe to speak to them and speak to their families and these things at this time, because the wives and mothers becoming very burdensome to them, and you know, so many children being born and being born quickly and these type of things, and I'm just kind of waiting there because I know I understand the plea, I understand in their heart how they feel, I understand what it is for a woman then maybe to have children and maybe live in a little room and I could hardly maybe afford to feed them, and then maybe want to live a better spiritual life and their life maybe in a certain condition because they're not able to cope with the measure of responsibility they have, that it takes up all the time and it is dominated by the natural things. I can understand that, but then you see, to every problem is a solution, and many times what we apply as a solution is not the solution for the problem, and it depends on what standpoint we get the problem from. You see, we have a lot of young people here, and so maybe I could just say something here tonight, in language, so you can know, I say, when you put your house in order, and you find many young people and in their homes, as young girls, and in their mother's home, or when in their mother's home, they have a responsibility in their mother home. As a daughter, because they marry, they have no head, their head is their parents there. You see, they're under a jurisdiction at that home, because they're in that home. And then you find out that'll be obedient to them in the Lord. And the parents want to do things contrary to the Lord, well then they obey the word, and then the word requires them how they should live under that condition. But because many people don't realize they're living there and have a responsibility as a Christian in the home, they want to leave the home to escape and marry their way to escape. But when they're going to be married, they fail to realize that they left in one responsibility to take up another responsibility that is greater and more severe than that first responsibility. And when that responsibility there was to qualify them and prepare them and get them ready for this next phase, they never even qualify and face this one, and they want to leave this one to come over and take this one. And we come here backfire on them. Because when they come married, to be married as a wife, they put a potential mother now. And they have children, so they become a wife and a mother, it's double responsibility. So they leave one, they get two. And they still maintain the first one still. But the first one still, they honor your mother and your father. And they have these two others. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why I say I have no room to compromise with people where these things are concerned. And if that's why some people say, well, I don't like them people get married. No, you don't like them people get married. Marriage is honorable in the sight of the Lord. In the sight of the Lord. But the Lord will see your man the cedar. You see? And then I know when you get married and you're fellowshipping here, right, by me your problem is coming right back again. And I don't want to tell you, lock one door here and then if I open the door for you, you bring back five more for me. No. You see? So what I'm saying is, then many a time we come back to talking to our brother and sister and showing them that in Ephesians, or the Bible says your husband and your wife, how they ought to be like Christ in the church. And here we're coming back to our place now, where every individual, whether you have no children, your responsibility. If it's a married couple, you have a responsibility. Whether you're a Christian in your home with your parents, you have a responsibility. Whether you're married and you have children, you have a responsibility. And that is the place where God put you to serve Him. You see? And many of it too, some of you get yourself in those places too. You see? Some of you get yourself in those places. And when you get yourself in those places, then now you find you need a revelation how to set your house in order. See? We can say set the church in order. We can say, yes, let a deacon set up here. Let a trustee do this. Let a trustee build the benches. Let a deacon keep order and everybody keep quiet in the house of God. Let a usher put somebody in the seat. Let the minister preach, let some service. Leader come and lead some for half an hour. We can do that and say, put the house in order. When you set the house in order, how are you going to set the house in order? If your husband tell your wife, you ought to be under subjection to me, I your head. You hear what the Bible say? No, that's not putting out order. That dominant in your wife. That being a bully to your wife. And our wife then maybe want to be a dishonorable to your husband also. But how are you going to set your house in order? First, you have to know your responsibility. First, you have to know what God requires of you. And first, you have to see what how the Bible says you should go. You have to know your example. Just like we as members of the bride have to see our shadow and our type to get inspiration to know we should live in this hour, in this season, like Jesus could see His shadow and His type to overcome what He had to overcome. Every one of you have your shadow and your type too, to know you should live. Every one of you have a scripture here to know you should live. Then you find a person might be a wife and she wants to please the Lord and say, read a scripture about what the Bible says, how to be a good wife. How to be a wife in a Christian home. Many of my husband, what his house been all about, he never even read the scripture, the Bible says, how to be a true husband to your wife as Christ, the head of the church. But how are you going to know? It's in the Bible for you. And then that's your word that's going to judge you. And that's your word going to prove whether your life that you're living is honorable in the sight of the Lord in the place that God put you on earth. That's your word that's going to judge you, right? That word right there. Because it's a word for everything. And the word for the thing that you're not doing is what is condemning you. And obedience to the word that in the Bible there requires you to do that is what justifies you. You hear what we say? So from the moment God spoke to him and said, put your house in order, he went into prayer. And he began to pray and seek God because he knew it was thus to the Lord. It was the word of God coming to him, and he knew to his house needed to be put in order. What does the scripture show for a house that is not in order in this time? All you have to do first find this time that we're living in, which time in the Bible it is parallel to. And see the house that was not in order in that time where it ended up. You know what I'm saying? That as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the coming days of man. As it was in the days of Sodom, so it shall be in the coming days of man. Amen. And look in the Bible and see your house. Parallel, like back in Egypt, all that time of this day. Back in the book of Joshua, all that time for this day. Look and see a house that was out of order. Look and see a church that was out of order. When the children of Israel was in order, God blessed them. When it was out of order, death strike them. When the house was out of order in Jericho, death strike them. When the house was in order, like Rahab, they were blessed. So find your time and see what your home is to be like. I gotta preach after you. You gotta find the answer of the Christian in your own home, for your interest in your own life. But I'm telling you, I'm saying it this way, because your problem is in the Bible. And you have been taught and established in the world. You can go in the world and get the balm for your home. For you, the high priest in your own house. The healing for your situation is in the Bible here already. You're the man of your home. You go in your home and throw the Bible. Find it there. You can't find it? Go to the elders. Come to me. And find it. Wait. In your home, there. You just set your house in order. God will hold me for setting this church in order. He will hold you for setting your house in order. You understand what I'm saying? I will not tolerate this order here. And then, when I see this order here, I want to find a word, see what has to be done to get right. And the same way, you have to be for your own home personally. And is your wife, you want to find in the scripture what the Bible is for the wife. Is your husband, go in the Bible. That means I can't do anything for the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? See, that is not doctrine yourself. That is taking the message of all the peace. Cry for that condition. It has certain medicine that prescribe a condition already, you know. You gotta take it. You gotta go for it. There are certain medicine that go for a doctor to get a prescription on that one. Or find the right one for that. Where they diagnose and examination and things. But they have some. Where you just go and you buy already mixed and put there already. Cough, mix your first one, so this mix your first. You're gonna get it off the shelf already and take it. You know what I'm saying? That's some of these things there. Because every time you see the principle for the church, you find it in your home. Put the same principle in your home. Because your husband is with the home, the high priest of the home. And he had to kill the lamb. And he had to apply his blood. And he had to roast. And he had to bring his family around the table. And he had to break the bread and give them. You see, like Jesus did for us. Ask the blessing of the home. See, this is what it is. If a husband is not serving the Lord, then the wife do it. For our children and our household. You see, and if you're a Christian, and your parents, you can't be a parent. Do it before, as unto the Lord for them. They can't see, they can't recognize, do it as unto the Lord for them. Let the Lord see your hold up before him. Let you become a sacrifice for them. See, so notice here in the scripture, I just think of the time because we want to cut here short tonight and go down to the baptismal service. So notice that it comes to a place where before God sends judgment, he always sends a warning. And death has come to a family and strike them. Death has come to a nation and you find like might have some earthquake. A national disaster, and so much, some hundreds of sons of the soil die. Death might will come to a church, spiritual death in the land, and a church drop and become cold. But before it comes, God has always sent a warning. And the only thing that takes up that wrath is repentance. And repentance means to turn back around. To get in order to line back up with the word. Come back to the word. This is what it is. Come in back to it. Line back up with the word. Getting back in God's order. And this is what God is telling Isaiah. He says, put your house in order. Now is a putting your house in order time. Because where we come to the end of the journey and everything is coming back into its original place. There is to be in every walk of life that you is a welder, God make you a welder. You're a farmer, God made you a farmer. You're a nurse, God made you a nurse. Because wherever you are, God put you there to be a witness there. To stand an example in every walk of life, in every area of your life, God put you to stand there as a representative of Him. You see? And this is where, by the grace of God, that I want you to see that the only thing, the steady rock of God, if it's this church, if it's this nation, and you see that judgment sign there, that's a judgment sign. It's coming while this nation is eating. This nation is sick and is corrupt. It's like a man who is on a deathbed, eaten with sores all over, worms crawling out of him. This picture, a man in that condition, dying no hope for him, dies this nation. See? It's gone, eaten. And because in the places where they ought to have character, that's where the most corruption was. See? There is no form of justice. Not in justice, the courts is one of the most places in this country, in this land. And your court in the elderly days had elders by the gate of every city. And you couldn't come in that city, you come in that clan, like in the city of refuge, until the elders meet you by the gate. And the gate there, when they meet you by the gate, they talk to you. And they find out, and they could give judgment. And then they had a wise king like Solomon, who could stand there and judge matters. Then, like now Moses, when the Spirit was upon Moses and put on different people to judge matters. And he said, they even look at people's face and reputation and person when they're giving judgment. And so we always are. And what the schools instill immorality with teachers and students living to get all kind of things and drugs in the schools until they have all kind of, they have to have by the schools now, security guards, all kind of different things. But they were the schools come to. People who were the teachers ain't fit to hold the post of a teacher. Yes. Because a teacher is supposed to be somebody who can teach somebody something. And to be a teacher long ago, you have a character to be a teacher. For you standing there as an example before your class. And that's why God even has some here to be teachers, to be example, to bring condemnation upon them other teachers. You see? And this is what it is. You see? And then when it comes to a place where the churches got our ministers to stand there and hold the word of truth and righteousness, to bring condemnation of those who hold the truth and righteousness. Every walk of life where God has His people to be a witness, the world will not be without a witness. See? So notice tonight, as we're saying, there's only one way you can know where you're standing. It's not church. When Brother Ram preached the message, the token, as you was here on Sunday, when he preached the token, it was not whether you was a Christian. That had nothing to do with it. You know whether you're going to church, that had nothing to do with it. You know whether you believe the message, that had nothing to do with it. It's whether you was in the covenant. The token showed you was in the covenant. So the only way you could really be in order is to be in the covenant. See? And to be in that covenant is what puts in the covenant? The life of Jesus Christ. Then if it's the life of Christ, then you'd be in the right place, your home, as a husband, as a wife, as a daughter, be Christ in you. Because the Bible says Jesus grew up with all subjection to his parents back there in Nazareth. Is that the scripture? Until the age of his ministry. So then if it's the life of Christ in you, be the same thing too as a son and daughter of God. As a child in your house. But many a time people say they want to blame their parents if they have someone who have unsaved parents for persecution, all kind of different things. But many times what they need is a little more temperance, a little more patience. And many times they need to pray a little more. That will be. But because they could find an excuse and they want a better ease. And the parents are unbelievers. Well, the unbelievers are ready, it's easier to throw the blame on them. Yes, the unbelievers are ready, it's easier to throw the blame on them. They're always that way. You see? But remember, the life of Christ in you would stand there under any condition. You see? So set your house in order, a warning before judgment. The nation will be judged, because it would not go in order. The church will be judged, it would not go in order. The poor, all the crooked politicians will be judged, they will not go in order. All the crooked priests will be judged, all the crooked church members will be judged, but it will not go in order. God is going to bring judgment upon the whole thing. But remember something. You as an individual tonight, your life is the thing that is holding back this nation from perishing. God said, I can find 10 righteous, not 10 Baptists, he said, not 10 message, people in the message. 10 righteous. And this way, the life there before God must be the token, must be his own life, must be something that would not bring condemnation. Must be something that could go before God and present before God like Hezekiah did. He said, Lord, as an upright man, I walk in truth. I did according to your word. And God said, because of that, if I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears. It wasn't crocodile tears. It was genuine tears of repentance. I will add on to thy days. I will deliver thee out of the city, and I will defend the city after. See? And here, by the grace of God, we who are standing here tonight, let's recognize that you as an individual member, you'll have no excuse. But in your home, your God put you there, in that home. Whether you're married, God put you there. Whatever condition it is, God has put you there. And just before this nation is destroyed, and many of us tell this, I always say many times we believe the word, but that don't mean to say we're looking for the third pearl and the squeeze coming. We don't have to be alive when the squeeze coming up. This nation can sink before the squeeze coming up. God, it has no promise in the Bible this nation will be here when the squeeze come. When California sink, this nation could go down, you know. And if this nation go down, then you would not be around here to preach no laws. God ain't promised you to preach the laws, you know. It's a promise to the bride. You understand what I'm saying? And this nation might not even have a stretch until that time. God might just get fed up and throw it down. And you know what the Bible says? And the islands did what? You know what fled mean? They saw them no more. I know where's the island? A piece of land surrounded by water. Everybody knows in geography. Alright, it's a mountaintop you're living on. It don't just push out on the sea, so then the water rise, so you see it no more. And you could come up in the resurrection. You understand what I'm saying? But because remember, the world conquered to the image of the beast is going to come out of where? America. Not Trinidad, you know. America. Revelation 15. Because what they have down here, just branches. The root is up there. This little Baptist church, this little Methodist church, this little Presbyterian church, this little thing. It's just a branch off of the thing up there. That's where the headquarters is. So you see what we're saying. So that is why you have to be in order now. It ain't that you believe in God for the squeeze if God has a tarry and you look in faith. You got to be here in that hour, the third pole looking for these things because God promises these things. And you see that part of the bride. But what I'm saying is, whether you're going to be here for that, you have no claim on that. Your claim now is to serve God now while you receive the word now and walk in the light now and be a Christian now and line up with God's word now. That's your claim now. You have nothing for tomorrow. Because from the time the word of God came to him, he went before God in the prayer. You see what I'm saying? So, it's a time here where you are interested in your home to see the things in the world in your home. You're interested about it. You don't believe it. If you believe it and you ain't prepared and making ready for it, you're sympathizing with it. You're interested and you want to see it and you're preparing and you're making an effort and you're exercising it. because have to be there in you. Because not those who say they believe the message is those who have the token on display. You say they believe the message when they prove that you can read it. Amen. He says, you're a Christian, if you are circumcised, he said, I have nothing to do with it. It's when I see the token will pass over you. Is that correct? All right. So, as you get ready to go on to the what are you going to do? Everybody who wants to go there is, you know, you're going to go down to the scout house, you know, on the wharf here in San Fernando. And we're going to baptize our brother and his wife here. They're here tonight. We baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank God that quickly when they heard the word, they repented of the sins and wanted to make right. And the sister there, just the other night, she had the earrings and all the nails painted up. And when I tell about it quickly, she just take it off and want to throw it away. And brother, I thank God for that, to see that there's people, when you see that type of thing, you know it's something quick that's happening in the hearts of people. It's not no long, I know, I'm watching, let me check the message, I ain't sure, that one, the church is a hypocrite, not me, and wrong there, and they preach against me at time, and from the time they hear it, they know it's the word of truth, they're always at heart, quickly, they get right. Get their house in order, get their life in order. See, but they were married in the Catholic Church, and when you see the truth, tell me the Catholic Church was the fountain of all witchcraft and sorcery. He said, well, what we do, if I was here, we dedicate the marriage. And he said, well, we have to go over and get married over and new clothes. And he said, I said, no. All you have to do is just ask the Lord bless him. Know that in the word. You see, because that was witchcraft and sorcery back then. You see, know that in the word and it's part of this Ephesians again in the last days, then you want everything to be in order. Then you have a little child, so we all this sprinkles and thing, and we, this Christian, what is all this too? We dedicate them unto the Lord, what Jesus did in the Bible, they brought them unto Jesus, and he blessed them. And we want to do what Jesus did. So, brother, they're going to get baptized, the marriage is going to be dedicated, and the child is going to be dedicated unto the Lord. So the entire home is coming under the womb, like that. In this last hour, just before the earthquake put the place down, in this last hour, and you all come right here in the church and see the earthquake film the other night. See? And you all sit down and they say, that's California. It's Trinidad too. You see the one in California in film, but you was in the midst of the one in Trinidad. You know what I'm saying? So then what are you going to do? So then watch California and say, yeah, but California going down, are we safe? You can go down the same way. Or the spirit, like the spirit of the world, that is saying, yeah, man, earthquake, yeah. Or when those things happen, you realize God is warning the nation. He don't send judgment before he warned the people first. What is supposed to say? Everything will be shaken will be what? For we have a kingdom that cannot be removed. The only one hiding place tonight is in the word of Almighty God. Amen. We have a dedication before we close. We all stand on our feet, sing, bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the field of sin. Brother Andre and his wife here. I mean, they do fellowship. Absent from fellowship for a little while, but we see them here in the house of God tonight. His wife came and spoke about dedicating the church. So I told her, say, tell Brother Andrew to come too. Amen. Bring them, come back in the house of God. This is where they belong. This is where they're supposed to be. In the presence of God. Amen. This is not a place where you watch nobody funny. If you want your loved ones, say, you better get them in now. Amen. This is a time here where we want to hasten quickly. Do what we have to do. Because we wouldn't have a second chance. Amen. And many times sin, you get your life in sin, you fall from the Lord. The locusts eat away your leaves and they stop fellowshipping. The canker won't come, begin to eat on your bark and make you disbelieve the doctrine of the apostles and the prophets. Amen. The palm will begin to eat away all your fruits and all the little worries begin to come back out. And then the caterpillar will suck down that life. But he said, I will restore, saith the Lord. Amen. All the pound, the kangaroo, the carpenter, the locusts have eaten, I will restore. Amen. Where is a backslider supposed to be in the house of God? Be zealous and repent. Amen. That's going to be a shame. Look at Hezekiah. The word of God came to Hezekiah. Set your house in order. Quickly. You're before God. Amen. I said, I will lengthen your days. I will deliver you. I will defend your city. I will do these things. I see your tears. God is a merciful God tonight. Amen. And while we have the time, as a people, may we not neglect so great a salvation. May we take earnest heed to the things we have seen. What a joy this tonight, our brother and his wife will have the sins remitted. The Bible says Esau one of these days will seek a place of repentance and he wouldn't be able to find one. You know there's one tonight? There's a fountain full of blood? The dying thief, the same fountain he rejoiced to see. He could turn and see that same fountain flowing tonight. To cleanse him of all his sins. Amen. So we're having a dedication tonight and we're having a baptism tonight. Amen. A remission of sins. So may that be here tonight for every individual, for every home, for every family, for every husband, for every wife, for the people of God. We are people of his kingdom. We are family. We are one. Amen. Now family, look, I have a brother there. He's smoking marijuana, selling marijuana, all kinds of different things. And I have another one backslid. And I have sisters out in the world. And it's part of the family. I don't disown them. Amen. I desire to see them saved. And we are part of Christ. And then here we are in the house of God. And then part of the local assembly here. Sometimes somebody leaves. Sometimes somebody backslides. Somebody gets weak and they fall somewhere. We don't disown them. Amen. We will not pray them when they come back. We will say, restore. Amen. David said, restore me unto the joy of thy salvation. Amen. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your leaves shall not wither. You'll bring forth your fruit in due season. Amen. The world have nothing to offer you. Cinema. They can't pray with you. They can't bring you back, reconcile you back to God. Amen. Out in the dance hall, they can't do it. Out in the fed, they can't do it. You see, the politicians can't do it. The denominational churches can't do it. But where God's people are, where his presence is, where his blood is in effect, it can be done. Amen. So may we recognize the hiding place. May we never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the power of God unto salvation to him that will believe. Amen. Amen. And his arms open wide tonight for every sinner, for everyone I want to repent, for everyone I want to make right, for everyone I want to turn from the wicked ways. Bible said, turn away from your wicked ways. Amen. Look unto heaven, expecting as you pray, call upon me, and I will hear and answer you. Amen. See, Jesus didn't come for the righteous, he came to save sinners. It is sick that need a physician. Amen. And how else could we see him here among us as a deliverer if we don't have people in a condition that need deliverance? How else could we see him as a savior if there are people here who need salvation? How could we see him as one baptized with the Holy Ghost on fire if they don't have people here with the Holy Ghost? How can we see that healer without sick people here? God does these things right here so he can manifest his presence and we can say we have seen the Lord. Amen. So bring them in from the fields of sin. Amen. If you are bringing them from the fields of sin, you are to come from the fields of sin too. Is that correct? Bring them in. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the little ones to Jesus. Hark, the shepherd's voice I hear out in the dead. 1:24, you only believe. Calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd, full of we. Bring them, oh sing tonight, lift your voices unto the Lord. Field of sin, bring them in, bring them in, bring the little ones to Jesus. Who'll go and help the shepherd kind in the bride list, you know? Help him, the one you want to find. Who will bring the lost ones to the fold? Oh, where they'll be sheltered.
and a fool.
You must have a burden for the lost tonight. They must silent cry for the abomination.
Oh, bring them in, bring them in, bring the little one to Jesus.
Out in the desert, hear their cry.
In the
desert, oh, out in the mountains.
Fix today, go find my sheep wherever they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the little ones to Jesus.
Out in the desert, you hear the cry tonight?
Where
it's parched and dry, no water?
Out on the mountains wide and high, out in the master speak to thee.
Go find my sheep
wherever they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the field of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them.
Who'll go and help this shepherd kind tonight? Oh, help him, the wanting one. Who'll bring the lost ones to the fold?
Where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the field of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in to Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes as the music plays softly. Thank you, Jesus. Before I dedicate this child, I would like to ask the parents, they would like to dedicate back their lives unto God tonight. Amen. They be in the house of God tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, great shepherd, we thank you tonight, Father. Lord, your brother's wife is newborn. Stand before this altar tonight. In this church, this place that has been consecrated, it's a meeting place to meet with you. Lord, we know you are here amongst us even tonight. We sing the song, bring them in. We think of the good shepherd who left the 99 and went out for that last one, Father. And the prophet always told us the rapture would not take place until the last one comes in. Might be a backslider tonight, holding back the rapture, Father. Lord, sometimes, even your own children, as you see in the Bible, they would come in your house, sit at the table, and then be lured away and walk after the course of the world again. Even in the scripture with the dove that was in the ark with Noah, he let that dove out and began to fly around. Couldn't find a place, Father. I had to come back in the ark. But the crew went out, never did come back. And oh God, we know that you care for the last one, Lord. That one meant just as much to you as the 99. For 99 was not enough for you. But Lord, you went in that place, through the rivers, up into the mountains, down into the cliffs, to bring back that last one. And oh God, as my brother's wife comes tonight to dedicate this little boy and feeling the unction of your spirit tonight, directing it to them, to ask them to rededicate their lives in the house of God tonight, knowing we are living in the judgment hour. This nation was shaken a few days ago, Father. They can be felt throughout the land. And if you had shaken a little more, it would have gone right down. And they'd have died in their sins. But Lord, in your mercy, here they are tonight in the house of God. Standing here at this altar in this church. In the midst of this believing people tonight. Oh God, be merciful unto them tonight. As they stand and confess their sins before you. As they desire to be reconciled back to you. As David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If it be a doormat in the house of the Lord, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Father, reveal your love afresh in their hearts tonight. Let a vision of Calvary flash across their heart tonight, Lord. Your suffering and your agony. You're dying, Lord. You laid on your life to die for them. They could have a great salvation, so rich and so free. A place that you've gone to prepare for them. And a promise that where they are, where you are, they will be also. For you will come again and receive them unto yourself. As your word have come unto us. Buy of me eyesight, gold tried and fine, white raiment. Oh God, may they do it, Lord. We think of Samson tonight. He was in his sins, Father. But Lord, he saw a possibility of the power of God coming back into his life. And he cried out, just once more, Lord. Just once more. He was willing to pay the price. God, let that same inspiration come into their hearts tonight. Brother Andrew and Sister Marilyn standing here, Lord. May take away all shame and what people will say. Let them know that we love them, Father. Lord, let them know that we care for them, Lord, and we are here to encourage them and to strengthen them, Lord, and to pray for them. Lord, our desire is to see them walk in the path of righteousness. This little boy that they bring tonight, they call his name Emmanuel, come to be dedicated for a life of service. And we know it means God with us. Oh God, may it bring back the presence of God back into their lives. That they can have that assurance to say, God is with us. Knowing that is what they did when they had children back in the olden days. It was for experience. In one place, Father, we read where a woman had a child and she called the name of the child Ichabod. The glory of the Lord had departed. But here they call this one Emmanuel. God is with us. We know you can never really be an Emmanuel if you are not with them, Father. Lord, as they would come back to you, you would be with them again. For you said you never forsake man, if man forsakes you, Father. And may it be a real manifestation of Emmanuel. Revealed in us. Oh God, grant tonight. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Bless the little child. Grant him health and strength. And may it be for a sign. Even when that first Emmanuel was for a sign. May this one be for a sign. Of the Messiah. In the life of my brother and my sister, in the homes. Maybe a sign of salvation. Even though it be salvation, even spoken of, maybe for a sign that would save them and save them completely, Father. And may your presence come back with them in full measure. And may they walk in the path of righteousness. And may they find fellowship with you again. Lord, your blood to cleanse them from all sin. And you can restore them back sevenfold. I ask you tonight, Father, with this people that is praying for them also, in the name of Jesus Christ, loose him tonight. May the power of the enemy broken, and may he be set free this night for the glory of God. May he receive his confession. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the entire lives of the family be dedicated back into your service now. For your honor and for your glory, we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing Emmanuel. Thank you for your presence. Lord, just before we leave to go and remit the sins of our brother and his wife, we just bring this request, prayer for healing. On behalf of our brother Winston, who has severe pain even now in his right hip. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that this prayer of faith be zeroed in to that place where that pain is, Father. And may the Holy Spirit take this prayer that is sealed with the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, apply it in that place where that pain is and drive that pain out. May be free. Also, that virus may be healed from it now. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we believe, Father. And we thank you for it. And Lord, as we leave this place, going down to the seaside to remit the sins of our brother and his wife, we pray your presence will accompany us there also. That we can all heavens rejoicing when one sinner comes to repentance. Lord, we pray that you would pour a great and mighty blessing there for us as we sing and worship you, as we fellowship in that presence. May thy spirit be felt in every heart. Take us safely now as we leave this place. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You can have your seats. We are dismissed. I just want to make an announcement before we leave here. On Friday evening, I'd like to have a meeting with all the officers in the church up here on Friday evening, by the grace of God. Maybe they can come over at 6:30. They can make it down 6:30, 7 o'clock. I don't know how to be with them, but we want to have a meeting here on Friday evening by the grace of God. Amen. All the officers in the church. So right now the deacons and they will make arrangements, get the people down. I will be down in a little while. So I'll perform the baptism. Nobody, you know, if there is somebody here close that can help me go in the water, that'll be appreciated. So this party is dismissed. And those maybe who would like to go into our transportation, maybe they can see one of the deacons and they can help them out and work out something. It's not too far by, it's just nearby here. So if they never see the place or never go down, they can just see one of the deacons afterwards and they will help get them down there. Amen.